You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out at Grace Ranch for our first nightly meeting for our ministers' conference. Let us start with prayer.
Father, we need a breakthrough. We as a fellowship need a breakthrough in you to be able to go forward in the promises that you have in your word that we have not yet partaken of. And we can only do it by your mercy and by your grace. And I just pray, Lord, that you will pour down your mercy and your grace upon us, that you will strengthen us to go forward in you, and that you'll open up our hearts and minds to receive that which you have for us this night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Cry, you are listening. When I humble
I just want to thank the musicians up here who are doing a wonderful job. And what's so important is the praise and the songs should be bringing us all together and letting us worship the Lord. So thank you, musicians, for all the work you're doing. I'd like to start off with a testimony. Some of you were here 3 years ago when I ended up in the hospital. And the doctors told me that I could die, or that if I woke up, I'd be a vegetable. But praise the Lord, that didn't happen. So for 3 years, I've been battling, and there were things in my life that I needed to deal with that I didn't deal with. One was rebellion. One was stubbornness. And the Lord really made it clear to me that I had to start dealing with those things or that would kill me. A year ago, at the time of the conference, I stopped taking all medication for the COPD. No oxygen, no medication. And last time I went to the doctors, they found no signs of it at all. A little over a month ago, I stopped taking all insulin and all diabetic oral medicines. And everything has, my sugar counts have been really good. I haven't needed to take any insulin. I haven't needed to take the oral medicine. And I know the Lord has delivered me from those. And there was one day that all of a sudden I had a spike in my sugar readings, in the glucose readings. And it was just recently I was sitting at the table talking to John, and I think Steve was there and Davey, and I shared how the Lord had delivered me from the diabetes. I went home that night and my sugar count had spiked. And I got mad. I just rebuked Satan and told him I wasn't going to believe that. I believed God. Amen. And the next morning it was down where it should be. So I wanted to share that with everyone here. Some people knew, some people didn't. But I just praise the Lord. I mean, I'm not perfect yet. I'm still dealing with these issues, but I am making headway.
Amen.
And I just thank him for all he's done for me. And I thank the Lord that I'm still alive to be able to be here with you and to serve him. Okay, and what I'd like to share tonight is in Matthew.
Now praise the Lord.
Amen. Okay, what I'd like to share with you tonight is in Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 14. Give everybody a chance to get there. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are the light. We are the reflection of Jesus to the people out here in the world. Unfortunately, most of us put that light under a bushel. And I got to thinking, you know, we don't walk around with a basket over our heads. So what could that bushel be? One of the biggest things is fear. Keeps us from sharing the gospel. Keeps us from talking to people. And God does not give us a spirit of fear. He gives us love. With love, peace, and a sound mind. Or power and a sound mind. It's in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:7. Fear stops us a lot of times from sharing the gospel because we don't. What are they going to think of us? Another thing is maybe I'll screw it up. Maybe I'm not going to tell it right. And they're going to think I'm an idiot or they're just not going to believe what I say. But a lot of it is not necessarily our words. Davey said more than once, preach the gospel and sometimes use words. It's our actions that speak louder than anything we can say. If we can show love, if we can show that we care, if we give, you see someone in need, do you help? Or do you walk away, somebody else will take care of it? Jesus fed 3,000 at one time and 5,000 at another. Why can't we give food to a homeless person? I mean, that's action. But do it with the right attitude. Not that they'll say, oh, look how great they are. But they'll see your love, which can leave you an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. You know, you can't let fear stop you. Another thing is sometimes you look at a person and think, oh, they're scum. They don't need to know the gospel. They'll never believe it anyway. I'm better than they are. And that will keep you right there from preaching the gospel to that person. But that's pride. And pride will kill you. And it sure doesn't bring anybody to the Lord. If you're walking in pride, serving in pride, then it's not going to work. So there are just two things that can be a bushel. They can be that basket over your head that stops the light of Jesus from shining through. Fear and pride. And it's time we got rid of those. It's time we trusted the Lord. Realize there's nothing good about any of us. We have nothing to be prideful about. It was His mercy and His grace and His love that saved us. It wasn't what we had done. It wasn't how great we were or who we think we are. We need to be out there showing the love of Jesus, not just with words, but by our actions. And rebuke that fear. Does not come from God. And tell your flesh that you have nothing to be prideful about. He didn't save our flesh. He saved our soul and our spirit. And so, like I said, there's nothing that we should be prideful about. So get rid of it. And walk in Him and be that light that He's called us to be. And I think that's all I've got to say.
Good evening.
Ooh, that's loud. Sorry.
So, somebody, I think it was Steve or Dad, I think Steve, was in Hebrews 3. Well, this year, Hebrews 4 has scared, well, let's just say this. It scared me. I haven't been around the longest. There's Ann and Robin and Carrie. But I've been around a while. I mean, other than Steve, who else? Let's see. Is that basically it? Mom, Carrie, Robin, Cheryl. Me, then Steve, and I've been here a long time. James back there too. You know, the truth of the matter is, I moved to Vermont in 89. Of course, I might do the math quick. How many years is that? Almost, it's been a while, 20 some odd years. Thank you, Carrie. We're homeschooling. It's all right. She'll be all right. 26 years. 26 years of hearing the same message. Same message. We were listening to the conference audio, first couple services we got through on the drive here. You know, it's the same message. It's the same message. Dad mentioned that there's this article that we fished up. My mom had found in a newspaper back from in the 70s. And there's a picture of him, I think, might have been in our kitchen. You know, it's the same message. It's the same message. Let me tell you why it scares me, Hebrews 4, and it's a good thing. It's a good scaring. Let us therefore fear lest a promise of being left, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Seem to come short of it. You can be involved. Finish that word. You can be involved and be absolutely lost. And it gets scarier. I'm going to go over to Galatians chapter 5. And it's interesting, Mom, that Matthew 5:14, one of the verses I was going to get to today with Galatians 5:14. Funny. Anyway. You see, the thing that scares me when I hear over in Hebrews and then I look over in the Galatians, because you can have heard it, have had it, and you can walk away from it. That also terrifies me. Because just because you heard it once, just because you received it once, just because, hey, you've been here for 20 plus years, that doesn't matter if you don't do it. That was the problem with the Jews. You go back over and read, they didn't mix it with faith. That is, they heard the gospel just like we did, but they didn't mix it with faith. That's the doing of the gospel. You hear me? To hear it and not do it, we can go to Matthew 7. That's like the guy who builds his house on the sand, right? I mean, this admonition that we have had is over and over and over and over and over and over. I mean, we can just keep going, right? I want you to ask yourself, you've been here, everybody has been here a while. Definitely long enough to have heard the gospel, to have heard the principles. Amen? We all have. But if we don't do them, we are just like the children of Israel that died in the desert. Now, let's say you have got it. Let's say you have heard it. Let's say you're seeking to do it. Well, you know, the Bible says he that endures to the end will be saved, right? You can't stop doing it. You know what I'm saying? You can't earn up enough credits in the doing of the gospel and sit back and be done. Because that would be then what? Works. Right? So Galatians 1 says this, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is that yoke of bondage? Now he was talking to the Galatians that had received the gospel. They had received grace. They had seen Christ evidently set before them, and they allowed themselves to be turned away to the law. And that is extremely easy to do. You know how easy it is to think you're operating in grace and actually be operating in the law? it can happen like that. I know. Personal experience. I get it. Scares the hell out of me. That you can be in grace and following God and in no matter of time be in self-righteousness and the law and headed in a very wrong direction. And that had happened to the Galatians. That had actually happened to them. You know, you can read every other version of the Bible and it's going to talk about them possibly falling or possibly... No, they had fallen. The King James draws that out. It's the only one that does. They had fallen from the grace. And here he's saying, stand fast in the liberty. Now, think of it. If Jesus has saved us from all sin, what is there that can hold you in bondage? Nothing. Think of the simplicity of just that truth. When you talk about the simplicity of the gospel, that is it. You are free. Period. End. Full stop. Done. Free. Free. God, if I had just latched onto that 20-some stinking years ago. Free. 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 Yeah, free. How many of you get tied up in bondage over stuff Jesus has already paid for? Already paid for. Already done. James, you had a bad attitude once, didn't you, buddy? I might have even been on the phone with your wife at some time when you had a bad attitude. And you know what? Jesus paid the price for that. You don't have to be in bondage to that. Amen, right? Amen. Free. Free. Now, every other ministry I have ever been a part of or been involved with, that involved, I got to put those together, involved with or visited, they always have something else to add to the pureness of the gospel. In that little extra something, it wants to get in there. Boy, let me tell you what, your flesh loves that little extra something. It's like Tabasco sauce on eggs. Eggs are good, but put Tabasco sauce on them and they're better. Well, not really, but you guys, there are some people that are going to relate to that. Hot sauce makes things better, right? I see Corey over there likes it, right? But it's not that way with the grace of God because it's perfect without any other adding to it. It's just perfect. And it's simple. And it's done. 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 My phone timed out. No. I'm still getting to you, Bob. Verse 2. Now, back to verse 1. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So they were in bondage. They were set free. Why would you want to go back if you're free? Who's been to jail? I've never been to jail, thankfully. You want to go back? Sure. You're certain? You are, Phil, you are positive. You do not. All right. Phil doesn't. Can we take by your telling us that we don't want to go either?
No.
Okay. Just checking. It's not like this. How much is this free weekend, right? It's just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Bondage is bad. We don't want to go back. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. This is what he's trying to tell them, that if you go back to the law, grace is no more for you. Flip around. Come on. There we go. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. When you take anything and you add it to the freeness, the perfect, complete, totally satisfactory gift of Jesus Christ, you have transferred back into the law. Anything, I don't care how insignificant you think it is no longer the gospel and it's the law again. I gotta tell you, it's incredibly easy to make that mistake. And it terrifies me of making it again. I don't want to make that mistake because God's grace is sufficient. And it's good enough. And it's the only thing that works. It's the only thing that works. Okay, verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. I want you guys to just think, how much have we heard about love, even back from the last conference? Wasn't that a big focus on love? Have we moved off the subject? No. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Y'all that bake, no, you don't need a lot of yeast to make the dough rise. Right? If you add anything to that perfect completeness that is the gospel, it's no longer the gospel. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. See, Paul's talking about himself, trying to get through to these guys. Trying to get through to them to hear that where they're going is the wrong direction. He continues on. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. See, we can serve what? What did we learn? We can serve the devil, right? Or we can serve God. Serve sin or serve God, right? That's the choice. Flip around. Here we go, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16. This is key here. How many of us that have been around for a long time ask ourselves, that's great, Rick. I hear you. How do I do it? Ever have that question? Don't raise a hand. I got both up. I mean, how do you do it? How do you do that? Yeah, I get it. Okay. Yeah, thanks. I get it. Okay. How do I do it? Well, that's really a pretty poor question because we've been shown how for as long as you've been here. So that question doesn't hold any water. It just doesn't. It's an excuse and it's worthless and it, in a sense, it's saying God is not righteous. It's BS. Because he's already given us every example in his word and in his ministers that he's provided us of how to do it. And when you can recognize that and take away the excuse, now you're starting to move in the right direction. But as long as you sit back and say, that's great, how do I do it? In the sense, you're still justifying yourself. Pray about it. Because that's exactly what you're doing. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what it means to walk in the Spirit? It means to make the Spirit your everything. Is being in the Spirit of God, is being in communion with God, is being in right standing with God your everything? Is it your everything? Is it your absolute everything? Because if it is, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If it isn't, guess what? You will. You will. Look, I get it. I get it. But the part of me that tells me every sort of reason or excuse or some sort of nonsense that to make God my everything, I'm going to lose something, that is such a lie. It is such a lie. What are you losing? Really, what are you losing? Are you losing COPD? Maybe you're losing diabetes. Those seem like pretty good things to lose to me. Seems like, yeah, I'll lose those. That sounds pretty good. How did Ann get delivered of that stuff? Was it because she took the right medicine and went to the right? No. She went to the only doctor that can fix that stuff, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And she made him her everything. Is she got it down pat yet? She says no. It gives us hope, doesn't it? Gives us hope. But God is a God of hope, is he not? Yeah. Doesn't he say, if you come and confess your sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness? Doesn't that sound like a God of hope? Doesn't that sound like a God who already knows who you are, who knows what you're full of, who knows that you needed a Savior and died for you anyway? Doesn't that sound like an awesome God? Sounds like an awesome God to me. So I'll ask myself, and I'll ask you to ask yourself, what are you losing? You losing some stress? How about some worry? Losing that? Maybe some bad attitudes or resentment. How many people like to feel resentful? I just love it. Let me get into that some good old resentment. Let me just live there. What are you doing? How about, let's see, I want to hold on to some jealousy. Yeah, that's a good one. Let's live there for a while. I know I'm kind of being a little silly about it, but it's not silly, is it? It's really not. If you walk in the Spirit, if you make the following of God and the immersion of yourself into the Word, into the Spirit of God, if you make that your everything, where is there time to do the other? Where's the time for it? And if that is the way, then we know the way. Right? We know it. It's the doing. When I came to really know the Lord, it was in Vermont. It might have been August, sometime after a meeting. I don't know if I told Mom or I told Dad. I don't remember what it was. But the realization of that I did not love God. Didn't love him. Now, I'd grown up in the church my entire life. And I sang songs and did all kinds of things. And man, I tell you, I thought I loved God. I might have filioed him. Thank you. But to love him, to prefer him, I did not. Now, we have been challenged to not play the game any longer. Amen? And that not playing the game, it's got to start with realizing you are playing the game. And when you realize that, then he can start working with you. Then his word will actually explode into reality into your heart. I can't describe it any other way. light bulb going on just doesn't do it justice. I guess that's it.
Just a couple words, if you don't mind, Rick. You're talking about walking in the Spirit. And a lot of people, they hear that, no longer walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. It sounds good. But let's take the hay out of the hayloft and put it on the ground where us cows can eat it. What do you think? From the day you were born, you were taught, educated, in listening to the flesh. That's all you had for a teacher. Touch that, oh, it's hot. Touch that, oh, it's cold. Ouch, that's a pointy thing. And you learn from those around you. Like this, don't like that. Love this, don't love that. It's all about you. You're number one. You've got to take care of yourself because nobody else is going to. If you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will. You've really found that in this ministry, haven't you? Somebody was asked the other day, you know, what was life before you came here? They were eating out of garbage cans and trying to stay warm. What, you know, worried about where the next meal was coming from. What do you have to worry about here? Oh, nothing. A little different, huh? You see, you grow up learning to listen to the flesh. But the Spirit is a gentleman. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is not going to pound on you and yell at you and roughhouse you and make you do anything. Satan will. Devils will. Somebody said to my wife one day, tell Richard to command somebody something. Yeah, I know that ain't going to happen. The only time you hear me give a commandment is when it's thus saith the Lord. I don't command. That's not my job. That's Satan's job for God to our good. Like the day Avro Manhattan was in a church in England during World War II, and the priest was giving his homily, and a woman stood up and said, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt leave this place immediately. And the preacher stopped and did a marvelous thing. He said, everybody get out. And when they got out, a V-2 rocket hit the church. What would have happened if she thought, oh, what will they think if I'm wrong? Oh, they won't like me for interrupting. Or if the priest said, who's this woman to interrupt me while I speak? See, she listened to the Spirit. And the priest had enough sense to listen to through her. So walking in the Spirit is a process in which you ask God to teach you how to hear, listen, and obey the Spirit. Everybody say, hear, listen, Obey. Do it again. Hear. Listen. Obey. See, our problem is not hearing. Our problem is listening and obeying. Scott was sitting with his little girl on his knee earlier today. And I leaned over and told somebody, "Tell Scott, that sure is a good-looking little boy you got." And you know what he said? You know what the guy said? "Scott, Richard said you have a good-looking little boy." Now see, he heard. He may have listened, but he didn't obey. It's a process of learning. Steve and I used to go round and round in Vermont for years. I'd call him up from Lowell, Massachusetts. "Steve, I need you to tell Ricky Baldwin so-and-so, such-and-such, and so-and-so." A little while later, I'd get a call back from Ricky Baldwin. "What do you mean telling me what's a who's a?" I said, "I never said that." "Well, Steve told me you did." Am I right, Steve? He heard, but he didn't listen. He put his own spin on it. How many times you hear somebody say something, and instead of listening to what they're saying, you're trying to interpret what you think they mean? You get down south, and you got some southern boy sitting in a missile silo. You could get in real trouble when you say, "Hit the launch button." Because he might think launch is lunch. You don't get it, do you? Too many Yankees in this room. Love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
We learn to listen to the Spirit. The Spirit is quiet. He's very soft. Almost an urging, almost an unction. And when you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and learn to obey the Holy Spirit, you learn to walk in the Holy Spirit. And the way you learn to walk in the Holy Spirit is you got to tell that flesh to shut up. What was that scripture? "Be still and know that I am the Lord thy God." Be still. Shut up. Stop talking. Start listening. You'll hear him. And a good way to start that learning is through your elders. Stop telling your elders what you think and ask them what they've learned. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. They're going to play some music now. Y'all can praise God for that.
Thank you.
Come on up, Steve.
Praise God. Not sure what he was asking me, but praise God I got the microphone, not much.
Well, I was asking, telling you to preach the word, buddy.
Oh, praise God. I missed what you were saying. I thought we were going to do another song, so praise the Lord. You know, in listening to all the different things that we're talking about, you know, there's one word that we all know well that really is the key to get rid of. You know what that is? Pride. Why do we not listen? Why do we interpret? Why do we change? Why do we try and do it ourselves, add something to the simplicity of the gospel? Why were you having your struggles and going to the doctors and things like that? We're all hanging on to pride. That's what it is. And you know why we hang on to pride? Our flesh loves pride. I mean, our flesh feasts on pride. I mean, it loves it more than anything. I don't think there is a thing that our flesh thinks is more glorious than pride. And you know what our flesh hates more than anything? Humility. Oh, no. Humility. But look at it, Ann. You look at the testimony. Your whole testimony was humbling yourself to receive a simple truth. And when you did, and you started, you decided that, look, nobody can do this for you. Nobody can do it. Nobody can, you can't be, it's just not going to magic wand away. You've got to decide that you want to be different. And we've been talking about repentance, and it's interesting. Repentance is about changing directions. It's about changing directions. And it was interesting. I was looking through some things today, and my Bible's back there because I was unprepared to come up here and preach, for which I apologize. But if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I think it's verses 9 and 10. Ah, there's a Bible right behind me. Praise God. I can find it. I want to show you something that's key, I think, for us to keep in mind as we make this step. You got it right there? Praise God, that works. Let's see. Okay. Now, Paul, if you've ever read 1 and 2 Corinthians, he writes a few hard things to the Corinthians. You ever notice that? He's telling them a few things they don't like. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, this is Paul's words. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. See, the sorrow of the world is the pity party. I'm not getting what I want. You'll cry, you'll whine, you'll do all sorts of things, and nothing changes. You know who is the best example in the scripture of that? Esau. Did it change anything, even though he carefully sought it with tears? See, that's the play in the game. See, the sorrowing under repentance is to leave the game behind. You know, it's an interesting thing, and Ricky was talking about how great God was and is and all this other stuff. And if you looked over there in Hebrews 4 where he was, I want to take a verse or two past. You know, he said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And if you go back to verse 19 of chapter 3, and it's talking about the children of Israel who died in the desert, it says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. All right, that's why they could not enter in. So let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed, watch this, For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Gosh, where is it? I'm wanting to get to it in here. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in there, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Here it is where I wanted to get to. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now watch this verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, referring to God's rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. See, our works are all the works of vanity and pride that we think are somehow going to make a difference. And it's all about, and it's interesting, you read the verse about a city that is set on a hill, and it talks about that you do your good works, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? God, not you. Pride always wants it to be about you. Humility and faith and love knows that only Jesus saves. You can't save anybody. Only Jesus heals. See, it was his stripes by which they're healed, not your stripes. And so what happens is when you come to that place, when you're willing to humble yourself, which to your flesh is like, think of your flesh as the worst screaming demoniac ever, Linda Blair with her head turning around and green puke coming out. That's what humility is to your flesh. Your flesh hates it with everything within it. That's why over there in the verse Ricky was reading out of Galatians, it talks about how the spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. I can just tell you, your flesh is never going to like loving others. Your flesh is never going to agree with the simplicity of the gospel. Your flesh is never going to agree with these things. So you just have to determine that I don't care what my flesh thinks. I don't care what it wants. That matters not at all to me. I am going to believe God. I am going to serve him. I want his works to be the works that people see. And may he get all the glory. Amen. They have more songs. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. We'll do another song. We'll do another song.
I keep trying to find a life on my own apart from you. I am the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do.
As we close it out tonight, I want to remind folks, one of the great things about that song, salvation's what? by grace. Amen. See, when we have to live by that grace, we can minister that grace with authority unto others. Amen. And that's what saves. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go out of here encouraged, folks. Well, praise the Lord. For those folks who are listening out there, we will be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. our time, which is out mountain time in the U.S. We hope you join us. And for those who are listening who are new, who we don't know, we'd like to know you. Call us. Ministry numbers on the website and things like that. We'd be pleased to meet another brother or sister in the Lord wherever you are. Amen. Amen. For those on air, we're signing off. May the Lord bless you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.